on bed very soon. All right? Now I'm making my way down the platform, and this PSO clocks me coming down the platform. Now, for anyone who's not aware, a PSO, they're called Protective Service Officers, and basically they are guys who failed the police exam. And then they said, hey, do you want to be a ticket inspector? You can cosplay as a cop, and we'll give you a gun. I see you've had problems with them before. No problems for abuse there. No problems for power or anything. And PSO clocks me, come down the platform, says, you're drunk. To which I answer, no shit. Right? So you can see I started it. I'm aware. Now he goes, you're drunk. You shouldn't have been on the train. Yeah, why were you on the train? You should have taken the taxi home. At which point, we enter in a philosophical debate about the nature of public transport, what its service is, and the fact that if I'm not supposed to be on the train while drunk, why does his job exist? He does not like that answer. I don't think he was expecting so much philosophical pushback at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday. Which is fair. Welcome to the Weird News Quiz. Hello, my name is Matt Harvey. I'm the host of the quiz, and I will be delivering you four times your recommended dosage of the news. For anyone who hasn't listened before, I have collected some of the weirdest little stories from recent news and bundled them together for you to make fun of. And if I happen to sneak in a little bit of promotion for my or my wonderful guests' upcoming or future shows, well, can't really blame us for that. What's the harm? Thanks for joining us. Despite not really knowing what it is that you're about to watch, I have two guests here who are also unsure what they have signed up for, and I will introduce them. So, first we have comedian, father, and man scrolling the Robin Hood app looking for ways to invest his new pay rise of $3.57 a day. Oh, bargain. It's Michael Connell.
Hey.
How you doing,
Thanks Michael? For having me on the show.
What was that, sorry? Yeah.
Thanks for having me on the show. I'm interested to see what this is.
Aren't we all? And opposing him today will be comedian and social commentator and banned news outlet desperately trying to shill his underdeveloped app. It's Daniel Muggleton.
Thank you so much. Please buy the app. It's good. It's a winner, I reckon.
Yeah, it's all. That's every. Like, I downloaded the ABC's app after Facebook took everything down, right? But even then, even when I'm looking through the app, it's like, hey, have you downloaded our app? They're just desperately trying to get people off Facebook and into their own app, which I'm sure they're thoroughly not prepared for. But I guess let's stop messing about. And we'll get into questions. We'll start off nice and simple. Got some easy questions for you guys. Something a little light, something a little fun. Something very Australian. The platypus. Mm-hmm. So it's a creature so weird that when it was first discovered in the 19th century, many scientists in Europe thought it was actually fake and I think when it was sent back by George Shaw, the guy who received it, he went digging through the corpse to look for the stitches to see where they had stuck it together to see what it was made out of. But scientists have recently released a study in the scientific journal Nature after they completed the first map of the platypus genome, because lockdown's been long and boring for everybody, and we all need some new hobbies. So what new things have we learnt about the platypus from this genome release?
200-year-old hoax. They're finally admitting, look, the stitches were there.
They're like, this is why you've never seen one in the wild. Like, we've been really hanging on to this lie. Oh, by the way, Australia doesn't exist, the earth is flat, but especially this platypus thing. It's an issue.
I mean, Australia doesn't exist rumor, like that idea that flat earthers have floated, because it shows the support for the arts that I don't think anybody has. Because the implication is that we're all actors.
Yeah, employed actors in Australia. I'm not buying it. I don't think that's possible.
Like, which country has an arts budget that big that they can employ 24 million people just to walk around and say Yeah, I live in Australia. Totally.
Invent a new accent. That's why the American actors can't do it because no, they can't find a native speaker to teach them.
Yeah. Have you, I would argue pitch perfect John Lithgow's Australian accent is probably the most racist thing I've ever witnessed in my life.
Oh, really?
And I live in Australia, so I've seen some racism. You know what I mean? Like, it's
Yeah,
just,
cool.
it's next level how wild that thing is.
I haven't watched Pitch Perfect, so I don't actually know. I'm going to have
Mate.
to check it out after this if I
I
want to.
thought you were from Melbourne. If you haven't watched Pitch Perfect after 9 months of lockdown, I don't think you're going to catch on to the franchise. You know? I just think it's over for you.
I'm late to the game, yeah.
Yeah. But so we're guessing what they discovered about the platypus with this new genome sequencing. All
Is
right.
it something about, I know they've got a super toxic spur?
Yeah, they've got toxic spurs, yes. The males have toxic spurs on their, it's like on their, I guess it's, what would be the equivalent of the elbow, I guess? It's they sort of stick out and they're quite venomous. But that's not what they discovered recently. They discovered, I'll give you the answer, I'll put you out of misery, that the platypus is actually part bird, part reptile, and part mammal.
Oh.
So
Yeah.
Michael was right. Like, it is stitched together. It
Yeah.
is three type of animals stitched together. What they discovered is, yeah, he was bang on. The initial skepticism. I think, do you get a point for that? I would, if I was the judge, I would be like, Michael was in fact correct. I don't know.
It's close enough to any real answer that I've ever had on this show that I'm happy to give him a point.
Botanists are pulling off this hoax, or God is, or whatever. Whatever you believe in, someone's mucking around.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I mean, they say that the platypus' most common ancestor goes back far enough that it was before those like subspecies all sort of differentiated from each other. So it's got characteristics of all of them. It's them and the echidna at the moment. They're the only ones left of a species called the monotremae. And the monotremae has a lot of like odd little characteristics about it, including having a cloaca, which is like birds have cloacas and some lizards have cloacas, which is the single hole for the pee and the poo and reproduction. Yeah.
So they've got one hole.
One hole, the one ring.
For it all.
Yeah.
All you need. Good on them for being efficient. I'm glad over millions of years of evolution, we've evolved a second hole. That's our big evolutionary achievement as a species.
That and
fuck, remember back when we only had one hole? Now we've got two holes.
Who's got two holes, two thumbs?
Yeah.
This guy. Yeah.
This guy. And doesn't give a crap or a piss out of the same hole. That would be this guy.
Yeah, disgusting. There's a few odd characteristics. We've named the venomous spurs. Do you any of you know, either of you know, any of the odd characteristics of a platypus?
I've got eggs, but they have live young.
Yep, eggs and live young. Despite being mammalian, they lay eggs. So I think I can like give you a point. I'll give you 2 points for the two things you've said so far. So you're killing this game.
Wait, like eggs? Eggs was a point?
Well, I mean, if you can name one of the characteristics.
I mean, I thought every motherfucker knew eggs. I thought you were going crazy. It's just like they actually vote One Nation. Like, I thought you wanted real weird facts, you
they
know?
They are very Australian, yeah. So,
yeah, they bloody love it. They got one hole, One Nation. That's their dream.
That's right.
That's what they're after.
United under one. Right, let's go for some of these. So they've got...
water? Look, I got a point for the eggs. I'm going to double down.
All right.
They've got a duck bill. A duck's bill?
Duck's bill, beaver tail.
They're Australian. Not really. They're fake. They're pretending to be Australian.
They pretend
they're
to be
actually
part of the arts budget.
It's actually the dog from Frasier who's had horrible plastic surgery and got a bill attached. It's an out-of-work dog actor.
Yeah, they tape two dogs together for every platform.
What flavor is rainbow?
What was that?
By the platypus paddle pop, it's rainbow flavor. That's the one. Oh, is that a billabong? Shit, I'm wrong. Billabong.
Yeah, you've wasted a perfect opportunity there.
Ah, all the
can
points.
I Can I get something for knowing that the rainbow paddle pop is in fact caramel flavored? Come on, give me something. Give me some action there.
I'll give you a half point action for that. Why not?
Half point? Yeah, I don't do decimal points, brother. You round it up. You round it up to one.
If you had like, I don't know, Yowie or something like that.
They are related to echidnas.
They are, yeah.
So echidnas have a tri-headed penis.
Do they?
Going on down there. Okay, I know.
Every Australian animal has something really weird about it. Like, you know, wombats have the square poo, and kangaroos, male kangaroos have two penises, and females have three vaginas. And what else? What else?
You just can't satisfy a female kangaroo, huh? It's just so hard.
Well, you're not even equipped properly. It's just,
I know.
You're coming in here and you're like swinging two dicks around. And she's like, well, she's still got this other hole here.
Michael's gone.
I'm trying to remember what else I know about platypus. They have electromagnetic, like this sensor. They have
absolutely they do. Yeah. They their bill is so sensitive. And it sort of like senses electromagnetism, and it can use it that to hunt for small creatures. Because when it's in the water, it like closes its eyes, and obviously it can't hear because it's in the water. So it uses its bill.
Adamantium claws, right? A healing factor that comes out. They can. These facts aren't true. This is just a big hoax on Daniel.
I was
we'll be at a party and be like, they'll have electromagnetic bells. And be like, what a dickhead.
Like, I really, if the electromagnetic bell thing was a lie, I was hook, line, and sinker. I was like, these fucking magneto lizard birds. Good on them. Like, what an animal.
Yeah, they've got so much going on. With the, as far as like the claw thing go, you're surprisingly close. Because they do have claws to dig, but they don't, like a cat will pop its claws out. But a platypus actually retracts its webbing so that when it's not in the water, it can actually walk a bit faster. So when it's
that's
in the water,
so fucked.
Yeah, the webbing pops out. So you're kind of close on the claws thing. Just
they can retract. They can retract the webbing.
How many points have I got here? Have I just won the game?
I don't know.
You may be the highest scoring player ever just because you knew a couple of platypus facts.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Are we ready to like move on from retract the webbing just yet? That is one of the grosser images. It makes me think of a Tasmanian's foot. I'm not into it.
Really good swimmers though. Like they would smash Ian Thorpe. All right, yeah, let's get a few. They've got fluorescent fur. So it's like bioluminescent.
Right.
Their species evolved, so they do produce milk, right? But because their species' most common ancestor is so far back, they don't actually have nipples. They hadn't evolved nipples yet. So the way that they secrete milk is that it sweats out of them. And their babies, like, lick up the milk from the mother's fur. Yeah, they're bizarre. They're really weird creatures. There's so many... They're born with little baby teeth, which they lose when they get older. And then they just have, like, no teeth. And they, you know, swallow gravel to help chew up food. But don't actually have a stomach. They just have a gullet, like a fish. So it just, like, goes straight in and straight into the intestines. There's more. What else have I got? Oh, and the last two things before, because I don't want to get hung up on this for too long, is that our scientists discovered recently that platypus venom contains a hormone that could aid in diabetes treatment because it, what does it do? It promotes insulin release more than the same hormone in humans. And they also discovered that their milk has a unique antibacterial property which could help with superbugs. Like when we get to the point of antibiotics being no good, we'll be drinking platypus milk in order to survive.
I don't know if I want to drink sweat milk. You know, I think I draw the line at almond milk. That's probably as far down the milk food chain as I want to go.
What have we got? Almond milk, coconut milk, sweat milk. Like, I don't see... how these are so different to you. Like, it just means we become a medical superpower at some point.
With all the sweet platypus milk.
Yeah, that's all that sweat platypus milk, I guess.
Yeah.
We've established it's like part cat, part dog, part bird. Oh, it was a cat,
Reptile,
Reptile.
mammal,
Rep.
and bird. It's
Basically, it
not
could
kosher.
play.
Super not kosher. World's least kosher milk discovered.
I was gonna say a platypus could play any character in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Isn't that weird?
It loves it. It's having a good time. It's
Yeah.
an amazing creature, and there's just so many weird, odd little bits and pieces that have been discovered, like previously, but also because of this genome breakdown. So I'm just, I feel like it's time to invest in a platypus farm, and the future is platypus. It's fine. We've got this.
We
All
got it.
right. Something a little simpler. So an 8-year-old from Minneapolis, he recently pointed out a problem with NPR's oldest news program, All Things Considered. What was the kid's concern?
It's super boring.
Too boring. That's kind
It's
of like you're heading in the right direction.
that it's on the radio. Is that a big part of the issue?
Well,
There's no
mum was
creatures in
into it.
here.
You have to say that again, sorry.
There's no images with this news. There's no video.
There's no video. There's no
Yeah.
angry racism in this video. It's just words, and that's boring.
Yeah. I mean, I would say like potentially not enough. What's his name? Tucker Carlson? I like my
Yeah,
news delivered that way.
kid's a
If you're
big
not
fan.
watching Fox News, what are you even doing out there? It's awesome. It's such a crazy way to view everything. You're like, wow, this is so much more entertaining than The Guardian that makes me feel bad. You know?
Yeah, none of bow tie clad, just angry opinions, yeah, on
Yeah,
NPR.
more of that.
Build it up.
Is
No,
it?
he's 8 years old, so like that, I feel like that's pretty
Right.
significant. Yeah, he's an 8-year-old kid. I feel like that's
Okay.
a significant clue to what he might be concerned about. What an
I
8-year-old.
think Michael again, it was boring. Like, I think Michael is slamming this fucking game. It's a slam dunk. Everything the kid says is a fucking win.
He's Mike
I don't even know.
Jordan of this game.
Yeah. He's putting shots up
This
like Bugs Bunny.
is my wheelhouse. Like platypus, NPR. I'm
Yeah.
like, I listen to
We're in your
NPR.
wheelhouse. All
Oh.
platypus is considered. Ready
In
to go? No,
the
well,
old burrow.
explained that there was not enough dinosaur stories. So we're not
Really?
far off with the boring. He was just like, it's fine, but you need to talk about dinosaurs more. And he like wrote them I assume an email, and it confirmed
Right.
that there wasn't enough.
So what you're saying is this 8-year-old kid is a fucking virgin if he's still interested in dinosaurs. You know what I mean? That's, ugh,
Loser.
come on. Yeah.
Move on,
Jeez, brother.
mate. Slam it.
Like, Jurassic Park was good in like what the 90s? You weren't even alive, kid. Grow up. They're not even real.
He's hung up on Ian Malcolm, or he really hates lawyers and just enjoyed that one scene where the T-Rex just smashes into the lawyer. I feel like that was kind of what he must have been going for. He slammed the program though, because he was like, it shouldn't be called All Things Considered, it just should be called Newsy Things Considered. I think it's a
I
great idea.
mean, he's got a point. Some things considered. Brackets, not including dinosaurs.
No dinosaurs considered. Move on.
Yeah.
Very literal kid. Never show him the never-ending story. Like,
Well,
out of
if you show it
politics.
to him, fucking put it on repeat. You know what I mean? Like, let's just whip this thing around.
Yeah, nobody
Otherwise, he
said
could
it
be
was
upset.
a continuous different story. It's just the same story over and over.
Yeah.
That's what you're all about. You're right. You don't know any different.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys familiar with Jacob Rees-Mogg?
Yes, he
Yeah.
lies down in Parliament.
He does, yeah. So many photos
There
of him
you go.
just taken, not even taking a nap, just laying. Yeah,
it's real weird. It looks like a Roman next to a bowl of grapes. That's his move in the parliament. It's very odd.
I feel like he's a ghost of a Victorian who just, that's where he worked, and so he haunts there forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just kind of down, just like looking at the person. I don't mind it, to be honest. I don't mind a bit of a relaxed vibe in the old parliament.
You want a bit more of that, a bit less, a bit less sitting up straight.
Yeah.
Well, he's come out with a claim after Brexit. He says that something has happened to the fish in the UK. What does Jacob Rees-Mogg think happened to the fish in the UK after Brexit?
They've been cooked in a flavourless fashion. Is that it?
I feel
very
like
bland fish.
I feel like he'd find that as a point of pride. He's very British. He would just be like, we didn't use too many flavours.
Yeah.
Just a good old British fish.
Yeah, batter it, put salt on it, then put salt on it again, you fucking coward.
Get the double salt.
I mean, I lived there for 2 years. I feel comfortable making fun of them.
Yeah.
So, British fish. He's complained about that. Like, they're getting fished by the EU. Like, he was a big EU guy. He was, hating on the EU.
Very
and they've just done that agreement, and the fishing territories and licenses were an issue. So something like that. They're only the mini fish. These goddamn Norwegians taking all that sweet cod. Is that it?
It is a way of expressing his anti-EU sentiment, but it's more positive. It's a much more positive note.
Please.
Which is rare for Rees-Mogg.
Brussels no longer has control of the fishing, and now the fish just do whatever they want. It's anarchy in the ocean.
Anarchy in the fish.
Yes.
Big Brussels has lost control. This
when Brexit went through. Control of fish would return to the crown. I don't know.
Yeah, the fish have now gone in favor of a hierarchical class system with zero mobility. This is how it should be.
Now you're hitting more of a Rees-Mogg vibe. I feel like that would definitely be something he would probably claim. Now he says the fish are happier after Brexit. Better and happier.
Fucking happier?
Yeah.
Happier about a fish.
Yep.
The most emotionless creature of all. Even during Finding Nemo, I didn't really know how Nemo felt about being lost, such as the blank, emotionless fish face that they all have.
Yeah, the dead dark eyes of the fish. Just the tiny stuff that hasn't got any fear in it.
Yeah. Man. Happier.
Better and happier.
When did you live in the UK, Daniel?
2017 through 2019.
Okay,
I just got back here. I flew into the bushfires and then they cleared up and I picked a great spot for the old pandemic.
Nice.
Yeah.
So were you around, you would have been in the UK pre-Brexit? Yeah.
No. During.
During.
I was there. I remember I went to Edinburgh, I think it was 2016 or 2017, just after the vote, because it tanked the currency. So I got really cheap accommodation that year. And then I was there for the 2 years of discussion. And then as I left, Brexit was supposed to have occurred, like, I think it was like January 1st or whatever, or some date in January after I left in December 2019. It was like 2 to 3 years of discussion. It was fucking ages. It was so long, and nothing was achieved, and they discussed it again, and everything's pretty much the same, I think, as far as I'm aware.
I mean, they've pushed
Do you see them pre-Brexit? I was gonna ask, today, were they stressing out with all the regulations, red tape?
They were losing hair. Great.
I didn't want to take this show to a dark place after the uplifting platypus facts, but I can recall on numerous occasions watching British fish pen sad ballads, just very upset fish, some even committing suicide by jumping into the water supposedly to drown themselves. It was very sad times for the Brit. Like, one time I got fish and chips, and the fish rearranged the chips to spell out "kill me." You know what I mean? It was rough over there for the old British fish.
Another question. Last animal question, and then we'll move on from animals. So, a Melbourne man armed with a gun is on the run after he stormed what building? It's an animal-related question.
Zoo?
Do. Fuck
That
it. I'll go aquarium just to be difficult.
is
To cheer those fish up.
serious. Yeah, he wanted Australia Fish to be as happy as Brexit fish. He went in there to check on them. No, he stormed an animal shelter. And yeah, it was a really weird. He was like dressed in full army fatigues, and he stormed the animal shelter. But when he went in there, so he was, the police said he was dressed in tactical style camouflage clothing, wearing a mask and a helmet, and he walked into the shelter and demanded to know what. He had a very specific question of the person at the counter. What did he want to know?
Can dogs still see me despite them being colorblind?
If I dress
Do
like
the
this.
fatigues still work effectively?
Confusing the front staff for Wikipedia or for Google.
One question.
Yeah, one question.
Is camouflage still in? Have I missed the boat? Is it no longer a good look?
Very late on the camouflage. That was what, like 2000s? It was huge in the 2000s.
Dude, Ali G era, that's all I know. Around there. It was hot.
What do you reckon, Michael? You seem deep in thought.
I don't know. How do I adopt a pet? Just to really. He's like, I'm
I
so prepared. I'm so prepared for this dog.
mean, look how much gear I've gotten.
Whatever it takes, you know?
No, he went in demanding to know where the cats are. And that was all he wanted to know. He was like, he stormed in, demanding to know where the cats were. Then he left without taking any cats. He just wanted to check on them. I feel like there was some sort of QAnon Pizzagate cat thing that we missed, and this guy got caught up in it, or maybe he was looking to start one. I don't know, because this feels like a really specific thing to do with
I
seemingly
thought
no
it was
motivation.
going to lead to like a animal liberation. He's going to let all the animals out, sort of story.
It sounded like it was going to go in that direction until he didn't. Until he just didn't rescue any cats.
So, like, army fatigues,
Helmet, mask.
gone. Tell me where the cats are.
Yep.
They're like, over there, and he's like, okay, and just bounced. Is
Yeah, come on,
that?
like he probably went and had a look and then just left.
Did he pet one?
You have to assume he did. There's no report. It's not in the official report, but I'm going to editorialize and say he did. Probably stuck his finger in. Maybe he got bit. Maybe that's why he left. But it was
Cats,
a
no
natural
longer
empath of cats.
but if he did storm the shelter trying to liberate the cats, like I'm here to save you, cats would be like, that's great.
Yeah, that's right. Cats were like,
Be
yeah,
like,
okay,
well, if
cool.
you're not going to appreciate it, I came in with a gun and fatigues and everything. Fine.
No
Call it
more
at the
red.
surplus store. Guns aren't even legal in this country. I went and got one.
Do you think maybe he was like he'd heard about these like cinema shootings in America and was like, I want to shoot anyone who sees the movie Cats and fell down with his initial. He's like, which way to cats? And he's like, they're actual cats. And he's like, ah, oh, damn. And then just kind of accepted his fate, you know?
Well, I've thought for years that the strongest approach to gun control in America is probably to shoot up a zoo. Because people don't care if people get hurt, but people care if animals get hurt. So if you shut up a zoo, there would be a stronger response. They wouldn't be like, well, give the giraffes a bulletproof backpack and send them on their way. Like there would be genuine, real outcries of being upset.
Yeah, like Harambe. I know that name, but I don't know the name of anyone who's died in a mass shooting in America. Like,
See?
not one.
See? This is exactly what I'm talking about.
One gorilla goes down. I'm like, okay, Commit that to memory.
One gorilla goes down like 4 years ago when you were living in the UK dealing with all your sad Brexit fish. It was about then, yeah.
Yeah.
So you had other things to
Interesting.
deal with.
Interesting theory. But this man, what did he get arrested for? Because,
Well,
like,
he's
it's
on
not
the run.
armed robbery.
Well, I assume by now he's been arrested, but he was on the run. It was, brandishing a gun, threatening,
Yeah.
all that sort of stuff. So it would be.
I was just wondering how you classify that crime, because like it wasn't like an attempted robbery. Like he didn't attempt to rob them. Like,
Attempted patting. Attempted
yes.
patting.
Armed
Attempted
cat
adoption.
killing. I mean, I think all men who really like cats should be punished. That's just my theory. Like, I don't know if either of you have cats. I don't know you well enough, but I do stand by it. Like anyone,
Look,
any dude who
I
loves
will.
a cat, I've got an issue. I would be more comfortable around a man in fatigues with a gun than a man being like, pet it. It's the best cat. It's number one. I'd be like, no, thanks.
I'm a confessional here. I'm a big cat person. We had cats a lot when I was growing up, and I'm okay with your stance because it's common for people to be like, fuck people who like cats. But
Hate though.
what is the impetus behind your frustration for specifically for men who like cats?
Because it weirds me out. I don't like it. It's like anyone who says they're friends with their mom. That one's male or female, not gender specific, but I don't like it. You're not
No,
friends.
that's fair.
Don't be
I can get
friends.
behind that. I can join you on that end of the spectrum, but I feel like I drop off. Like I lose
With the
you in the
cat thing.
philosophical alignment along the way. So I'm
Yeah. I
curious
mean, look,
where.
I'm not here to gather a following. I'm just here to let people know who feel like I do that other people share those feelings
You're
and
not
maybe
alone.
we should get together in
Yeah.
fatigues and change the world.
My family has a cat and it's grown on me, but I don't know if I can say love is a thing. What do you sell us on it, Matt? What's great about a cat?
So
Every day, is that?
as far as pets go, when we were growing up, they were always very friendly to me. I found that they were so I would often wake up and one or both of the cats would have made its way to laying down next to me or near me. They're very independent creatures and they don't require too much fuss, but they still have a little bit of that empathy in them. So if you're upset, they'll still come up in the same way that a dog will and sit with you, but they just sort of don't require as much work. I mean, they are in this country, as it's been proven to show over many years, they're quite dangerous to have if you because they kill a lot of local wildlife. So that has become, like, I don't have a cat now, but that has become a problem increasingly over time. So I can understand people's hesitation. I'm not saying they're the greatest ever, I just enjoy them.
I think I've realized what my problem with cat dudes is.
Yeah, go.
It's just that like cats are kind of independent. They just kind of hang out in your house, whereas dogs like need you every step of the way. And I love that attention
Right.
and I love that outward showing of love. And any man who doesn't need that, I'm suspicious of. I'm like, I don't know about this. I think I don't what are you hiding? You know what I mean? This is weird.
Don't need eyes on me all the time. It's fine. I walk around with a shovel whenever I want. Don't judge me. It's fine.
Then this is why I'm suspicious. I'm like, why? How can you get by like that? What have you got indoor plants too? I'm freaking out. I don't like this.
Well, now I have to have indoor plants if I've got an indoor cat. Cat's got to go somewhere, right? Alice Fraser has a theory about people who like cats. Her theory is that people think of cats the way they think of themselves. So the positive qualities that they put on cats are what they think are the positive qualities of themselves, which I think is probably accurate.
My wife is always looking at the cat and she goes, "Oh, he's sad," or "He's happy." It's the exact same face. He doesn't have, there's not muscles in the face. He's not like a human. He has the same cat face 24/7.
So he's like a British fish or Jonathan Rhys-Mogg, the exact
Yeah,
same face the whole
just
time.
blank always. That's right. All
Oh,
man.
I've got a question for you guys. So, an Oklahoma state representative has filed a bill to establish a hunting season for what creature?
Oklahoma?
Yeah, Oklahoma.
I'm going to go follow on. Cat.
Cats.
I think it's themed. I think it's a themed round. I think you put a lot of effort into constructing this quiz. So I'm going cat.
Platypus. It's all going to come.
That is an elaborate hunt. Like, so you're giving them the right to fly to a country that doesn't exist to hunt a, at this point, mythical beast. Which has, it has, I think, more qualities than like a chimera at this point.
Maybe because it's Oklahoma, he just wants the brownie points among hunters. He's going for the hunter vote. He's like, look, I'm legalizing hunting platypus, giraffe, boa constrictor, whatever, you know, so many animals. It's whatever you want, guys.
Yeah.
Well, there's permits out now.
I like snakes. Can we stay in the avenue of snakes? I got a good snake hunt. I like that. I'm liking that from Michael. I'm on. Yeah, fuck yeah. How do you hunt a snake?
Yeah, well, I mean, when they get big enough, I guess I don't know how fast a boa constrictor moves, but I guess it has to have a certain amount of muscular leap to be able to catch something to squeeze it, unless it's a sneaking predator, unless it's purely built on sneaking.
Yeah. What is the answer? This is what I want to know.
Has created, well, he's put out a bill to create a hunting season for Bigfoot.
Ah.
Probably more likely to catch a platypus, to be honest.
Yeah, or a boa constrictor in Oklahoma.
But, like, a hunting season, like, as in, you can't be hunting Bigfoot all year round.
No. Control.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that'd be insane to be, like, just going out there anytime. You like, there's a, you know, from whatever it is, November to December.
In summer, their numbers get too high and you need to cull.
Just really, yeah, take the numbers down a bit. So they're like kangaroos at that point. They're just a pest.
I like to think it's very heavily regulated. It's like with fish. Like you have to get it, then you get the foot and you measure the foot. And if the foot's under a certain length, then it's not a big foot. So you have to throw it back, you know?
Well, I'm going to give you a point for that because the hunting season is not actually for killing. It is a catch and release hunting.
Oh, yeah. you better kiss them and throw them over the side.
You do.
Sort of.
No, actually, that is written into the rule. Is that you must say,
you have to give throw
it
up them
as you throw it back.
It has to be into the ocean. Like, it has to be like a fish. You have to transport it to the ocean, then throw the Bigfoot in, being like, I returned you. I'm an ethical hunter.
It's kind of a funny story, but if they made the Bigfoot hunting season, like, you know, May to September or whatever, how worried would you be if you were a kind of hairy homeless guy? You'd be sweating all season.
Just like going into Athlete's Foot and they measure you up and he's like, you're a size 15. And he's like, no, 11, 11. Come on. It's it's Bigfoot hunting season. What are you guys, crazy? You're going to kill me out there.
Well, given that he's introducing the season, do you think that he claims that he's actually seen Bigfoot? Do you think he's on the record as having said that he has?
Being a politician, I'm guessing he's like, sitting on the fence about it. But
okay, maybe. There may not be.
May or may not be Bigfoot, but I'm a problem solver. Looking out for this community. It's probably his jam.
I've got an alternative theory.
Mm-hmm.
I think he, in fact, has no interest in Bigfoot. That's why he's done the old catch and release program. I just think he's planning to stalk a constituent, so he needs an excuse.
Really tall, hairy constituents
rolling around, being like, "What are you doing late at night? Following that van?" It's like, I thought Bigfoot might be in the van. I don't know. I wasn't sure. Sorry, officer. It is Bigfoot hunting season, and like, yeah, she's got a husband, but she loves me. You know what I mean? Like, I talked to my cat about it last night. It agrees. Like, I think I got a chance with this lady. I mean, Bigfoot.
Well, yeah, he actually has, he says, this is a quote from he said, "I've been into the woods all my life, and I've never seen any sign of Bigfoot." But...
open and shut case.
Yeah. But he says, some people have, you know, some people have claimed to have seen Bigfoot, some people claim not to have seen Bigfoot, so I guess he's just, you're both sort of sitting there. He's like trying to appease people who just want to hunt. He says it's for tourism. He thinks it'll drag people into the area if they can buy a hunting license and wander the woods to hunt the mighty, mighty Bigfoot.
Dude, that, he's right. I'm sorry. I've just never immediately gotten behind someone's logic like that before. Yeah, like any dumb cunt with like a personalized number plate will immediately be like, "I need my Bigfoot hunting license."
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, refer to me as a lord. I bought a plot of land in Scotland, 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter. Yeah, like
right.
Same shit.
Lord Hunter.
Whenever I hear a politician doing something like this, I'm always like, "What mundane thing are they failing at that they've got to distract us from?" You know, because he's like, "You know, in a while we'll get like a news report: 4 homeless men die in shelter fire," and he's like, "Bigfoot hunting licenses. Let's revitalize the tourism industry.
How about it, guys? We'll get some people down here. We'll hunt some big feet."
What, did you lock the door that night? I have not seen a Bigfoot, but I could tell you.
Think of the revenue it will bring in. It's unbelievable. Bigfoot hunting season. Progressive taxation's a myth. Anyway, so like, let's just keep going with this Bigfoot idea. I reckon that's the way to do it.
Excuse me, how contaminated is the town's drinking water? Could be real, could not.
I mean, there's a lot of lead from all the bullets that they've been firing into the air.
I've seen Bigfoot pissing in the town's water supply, so I think we need to take this Bigfoot down.
Take care of this problem. Mm. It's a urination problem. Look, the incentive that he's put out is decent. He has released, he said, the bill would, like I said, the bill would only allow trapping and not killing, and he's offered up a reward for anyone who successfully snags the creature. You want to take a stab at how much he's offering? Or take a shot, I guess. In a thousand.
Pardon?
In the thousands.
Just in the thousands. Yeah, I was going to say 7.5.
7.5? Michael?
Right. In the thousands. Jeez. Well, he depends how confident he is. If he's never seen one, he might be like 20 grand.
20 grand. You want to lock in 20?
Yeah, I'll lock in 20.
All right. Yeah. You're the closest without going over if we're doing Price of Right rules. He offered $25,000 for anyone who can successfully catch a Bigfoot and, I guess, take a photo and release it. Like, offer evidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How did he come to 25 grand? How did I come to 20 grand? I'm not sure.
It was your first impulse. Your first impulse was like, it needs to be enough that anyone who's dumb enough to buy a license, I guess it becomes like a lottery at that point, because they feel like they're investing in a system that's going to pay out.
Yeah. I mean, the real question is like, why do I feel like an idiot for only saying 7.5? I'm like, what are you, fucking idiot? Of course it's more than 7.5, you dummy.
Yeah, you were like, someone's going to buy custom license plates and drive down with their custom gun that has their name right down it. Lord Huntington.
Seven grand reward. That's like, I don't think Bigfoot are real, but they could be real, maybe.
I could use 7 grand, yeah. Fix up the house.
$100,000. He's like, no way. Bigfoot are not real. But 25 grand, he's like, I don't know, probably not.
Yeah,
but
that's like, you could take a year off work money and just go fishing and hunting for a year. See what else
like,
you can catch.
I think they are, but if someone shows up with one, I could sell them a car or something. Dig myself out of this.
I think that's him estimating that there'll be precisely $30,000 worth of tourism brought in by a Bigfoot. He's done the math.
All right. While we're in the States, here's one for you. The state of Maryland, their highest court has ruled that what could be admitted in court as evidence of a defendant's guilt?
There's so many really inappropriate jokes I want to make with it, but I'm not going to go.
You say whatever.
I'm not going to go through it. No.
You suppressed it to a $7,000 guess, and that cost you. So now I'm encouraging you to put it all out there.
State of Maryland?
Maryland, yeah.
Okay, so the only thing I know about Maryland is Baltimore and appearance in The Wire.
Yep.
So, real life in that show.
When painting with the broadest, slightly racist brush possible, you're heading in the right direction.
Okay.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
What side their ancestors were on in the Civil War? That's part of it. Whether they what review they gave Get out of 10 on IMDb.
That's oh man, you are coming.
Whether they say the N word while doing karaoke, is that we going this? What are we doing?
I'm going to give you points for that because it is rap lyrics. They are saying they are saying that rap lyrics can be used to determine someone's guilt in a court case.
That's nuts. So if they've rapped about it, like it's a real thing.
Yep.
Dude, that would have killed Kanye West's career. Because he really lied about being hard for a while there in the start. Wow.
Yeah, it's a crazy thing to take art and say you are now responsible for anything that is represented in this art. Like, just try and apply that to any other form of art, and the prisons are going to be so full.
Yeah, that's funny. Just like any murderer, like in a film, anyone who just plays someone, like Kevin Spacey's going to jail for 7. I mean, he probably should be in jail, but like, you know, bad example, but you know.
What's his face? Ben Mendelsohn always plays a villain. He's killed many people. He's going down.
Yeah.
Multiple life sentences.
And Sean Bean's just actually got to go to the grave, you know? He's just died so many times. They're like, well,
just send him off. Stop pretending and get in there. So this comes from a 2007 case where a guy called George Forrester was killed. And so he was shot by a drug dealer after he attempted to buy cocaine with counterfeit bill. Now, a man named Lawrence Montague was indicted for the murder, and it was Montague's lyrics that were used as the evidence for his for this change in ruling. Where did he record the lyrics?
I actually think I've read it. He recorded it in jail, and he recorded the album through his phone.
That's right. Yeah. Over the prison phone. And so they've got all the recordings of the calls that all the prisoners make. And so they are using, this is like 3 weeks before his trial, they went through all his phone calls looking for any sort of evidence. And they're now using his rap lyrics as a confession.
But he like, because this is fascinating, he rapped through the phone to some other dude on the other end who's like recording it.
Yeah.
And you know, the engineer on the other end mixed it into a CD.
I mean, that's what we're doing here. I mean,
You guys not in the slammer?
Yeah,
I'm in prison.
I'm in the prison podcast studio, and they're just giving me it for an hour or so. That's why I've got so much free time on my hands. I'm just got nothing else to do. Serving my sentence.
I thought albums down the phone was like not uncommon in rap, like that's kind of been done a few times, you know?
It's probably not uncommon, but no one's really like used
no one's been convicted. Was he in jail?
Snoop Dogg's been phoning it in for years.
Wait, this is important. You're gonna like, just wait for it, you're gonna like it, guys. Wait, Michael, can you say that punchline one more time, please?
Snoop Dogg's been phoning it in for years.
Worth it. Totally worth it.
I guess if we're arresting artists for the lyrics that they put out, what artists do you want to see punished for their lyrics? Who's going down? Who's your first choice?
Alien Ant Farm, Smooth Criminal.
Yes,
they're really kind of giving it away there. Michael Jackson, pedophile.
Yeah,
but you know, similar.
Man in the Mirror, I believe. I was talking to the man in the mirror, and I was asking him to change his ways, and he just didn't.
Turned out it was one of those funhouse mirrors, and the man was very small.
I'd like to see the corpse of Johnny Cash, the now 13-year mm-hmm. dead corpse of Johnny Cash, be dragged and put on trial for shooting a man in Reno just to see him die.
It's true.
Yeah. Nick Cave did an entire album called Murder Ballads. I feel like that's quite indicting. And maybe Modest Mouse. They can be arrested for breaking the laws of thermodynamics with their song Perpetual Motion Machine. Doesn't say which laws.
Do you want me to hit the air horn again, or are we good? Like, I don't know.
You know what? If you feel it, do it. But it's fine.
Look, you can call it. It's your show.
It's all right. It's all right. I'll live about it for now. You may have heard this story. This one's been popping up a bit recently. There was a California man who was afraid to fly due to COVID-19, and he took extreme measures to stay safe. What did he do?
He was afraid to fly.
He said he was afraid to fly.
Mm-hmm. But because of COVID, not about planes crashing, just purely COVID related.
Because of COVID. I mean, I've got holes in this for this guy's argument anyway, but we can talk about it.
He learnt to fly a plane and then flew himself to the destination.
Nice empty plane. Did all the announcements, did it professionally, properly, served his own coffee and tea, went up the aisles.
Had a good time.
Yeah.
Completely sterile, plain environment, all disinfected. Then he landed and went to the airport bathroom.
Touched it all. Boop, 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 boop. Upon arrival at O'Hare International in Chicago, when he decided he was a This was in October. So we were well into the pandemic at this point. So he flew from California into Chicago, then decided that he was scared, and he lived inside the secure area of the airport for a few months, claiming that he was there afraid of COVID.
Oh. So he hid in the airport to avoid people.
To avoid mass groups of people traveling, he hid in one of the busiest areas you could go to, which he flew to in the middle of a pandemic. And he claims he was scared of COVID-19.
How long did he manage to live there?
3 months. He found an airport security badge and he lived there for 3 months and nobody spotted him.
Man, a lot of this case hangs on whether or not he sanitized that badge before he started using it.
Yeah, if there's any evidence of him cleaning it before he picks it up, does he put on gloves? Like, what is his approach to the badge? Well, I mean, I guess there's more to it, because, like, how do you think he survived? Like, how do you survive 3 months in an airport?
Was he eating out of bins or something?
Not far off.
He's like, this is disgusting. They're going to be able to keep the virus out. Except for me, they can't keep a fully grown man out of an airport.
Was he like in the cafeteria with his little badge? Do they have a cafeteria? In my head, they've got a cafeteria. They all hang out there.
I don't doubt that they've got a cafeteria. But no, he said he survived by taking food that other passengers gave him. Yeah, see,
did he ask for food?
A lot of holes in this. Yeah, I feel like some people offered it. Apparently he was taking some that was left over. So his argument is falling apart every time he speaks.
But like, I don't know if maybe I just seem well fed, but at no point Has anyone ever been like, hey, would you like to finish this meal, badge man? You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Like, especially if you were working there, you would assume he's getting a pay of some kind and then he'd be able to afford his own lunch.
He's got the security badge, so maybe he's just walking up to people like, you can't take that on the plane. Give me that.
Yeah. Your sandwich is banned. We've actually recalled all this tuna.
Not that bottle of water. Give us that, you know.
I could see that, I guess. Someone was like, hey, man, no chicken on the plane. I'm like, oh, yeah, fair enough, bro. I'm like, give him the chicken.
It was like, this is a security screening, and then, you know, licked the moisture off. The vibes of the sweat. Super sanitary. Love it.
Yeah.
Very.
So, yeah, he's been brought to court, and he's facing trial, and I guess they're going to assess his movements, and surely someone's going to look at the footage from in there and decide whether or not he's telling the truth or if he had deeper intentions, if it was darker.
Is he getting sued by Tom Hanks for, like, copyrighting?
Copyright infringement.
Like, that was my movie.
I mean, I'm with Michael. What crime is being committed apart from being really, really, really late to your flight, you know?
Trespassing.
You're just in an airport.
New area.
But like, what do you mean? Like, in the bit where you have to have a ticket. And it's like, well, he has one. He just missed it.
He was
just
long
like,
time ago. It's just
what are you, trespassing? Well, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I think it would be probably put as trespassing. Maybe if they collected all his instances of taking someone else's food, it'd be like collective theft of some kind. I don't know. I mean, it was all left behind, presumably.
Yeah, maybe. Impersonating.
I feel like they'd find
impersonating an official or something.
Yeah. I can't think of a specific. Maybe they'll make a crime for him. I can't think of a specific law that he's breaking aside from trespassing. But I guess let's move on. I've only got a couple more questions, and then I'll let you guys move on your way. So Valentine's Day passed not that long ago. How did one law firm mark the occasion?
Offering... Oh, sorry, you go, Michael.
Discount divorces?
That's exactly what I was going to say. God damn it. I was right there. I was that right?
Never give up the answer. Never give up. That's free. He offered one free divorce. Rather than
one free divorce.
One free divorce
to his wife. Bang! There you go. Lawyer jokes.
Get that air horn.
No, I can't air horn myself. There's a code. There's a code to this thing.
Man's got to live by a code.
Yeah.
So how do you get a chance to be the lucky representative? I guess. Like, how do you get a chance to win that?
You got to marry him.
You got to marry him. With a prenup.
I just think it's like FM radio. It's like FM radio. The sixth caller will get one free divorce.
The 25,000th caller. So you've got to be a resident of that state, which was Tennessee. But also, not far off on the calling it. It's interested people should email their stories explaining why they deserve the divorce.
Right. Look at this motherfucker trying to get laid. What a piece of shit.
Right.
Just like emailing him and be like, why do you deserve a divorce? Oh my God, you deserve to be treated so much better than that. Are you available tonight? We can discuss the terms of the divorce. Motherfucker.
Yeah, it's pretty sleazy behavior. And that's a really horrible way to build up your like client email base as well. To be like, who's looking for a divorce? We'll get you guys in the client database. All right, two more questions, and then we'll wrap this one up. So let's go.
Do it.
The leader of the Taliban has issued a decree urging group leaders and commanders to forego what practice that he claimed was inviting criticism from our enemies.
Compulsory QR code check-in.
Yeah, whenever you go to the missile shop. Do not scan the QR code.
Like, we get it. You're in Russia. You're in the bunker. But like, you got to stop telling the people.
Yeah, it just gives you away. It's just, it's very irresponsible behavior.
Pre, pre-atrocity selfies. And connected to pre-atrocity selfies with very lame puns in the hashtag. Forget the glow up, this is the blow up. That's the hashtag, right? It's good stuff.
The one that they've all been using. It's
Like click through and it's like all of them and you're like, we know where you are. Come on now. Anyone can join the hashtag.
You want to take a stab, Michael, or shall I give the answer?
Yeah. Breaking COVID capacity restrictions on the bunker.
They did very early on, just before I give the answer, they did very early on set stop. Well, it wasn't the Taliban, I don't think. I think it was ISIS. They stopped bombing because of COVID. They were like, stay safe, no bombing for a while. Mm. Like, that was official decree for a bit there, which put them in a weirdly safer position than most governments at that time, where they were like actually trying to look after their supporters, their members.
They also actually gave their supporters free access to ISIS Premium.
Yeah.
They kind of, get through the time.
They said that they should stop taking up the practice of taking multiple wives because it was inviting criticism from their enemies.
Like bigamy.
Yeah.
Worried about bigamy.
Yeah. Like of all for them to choose.
The Taliban blowing up hospitals and schools. I don't mind, but two wives.
It's embarrassing. For
polygamy, not on.
I mean, I like the idea that it's like they invited criticism from their enemies, and their enemies are their least favorite wives. Those are the real enemies. They're really talking some smack. Keep it in your pants. You're losing focus.
That's right. Yeah, sister wives are getting together, complaining. It's a real problem.
Mm.
So according to the local law, Muslim men can be permitted to have up to four wives at a time. And polygamy is actually still legal in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and some of the other predominantly Muslim nations. However, sources said that the Taliban leadership was concerned over allegations of corruption against members for funds to pay a bride price. What is a bride price?
The cost of a wedding.
Not a bad guess.
It's like a dowry.
That's exactly what it is. It's basically a different term.
I got an answer right.
Yeah, you got.
Oh my god, I feel like Michael right now. This is very special. Very special for me.
This is the worst thing the Taliban's ever done.
Yeah, right. Pretty bad. Very embarrassing.
Allowing me to be right. It's no good.
Yeah, and you're not gonna why it. They would be concerned what their enemies think of them. You know what I mean? Like, their big push has been like, get out of our country. We don't want your opinions. We don't want your thoughts here. Why are they worried about looking bad in front of their enemies? I'm not, I'm confused by the intention here.
Mm. So, it's like a high school reunion, isn't it? You want to lose weight. You want to be successful.
Get a couple of wives and...
A couple of wives. Everyone you hated in high school, they can just eat it. You're like, oh, I'm so good.
I don't know. Wife.
Yeah, when I walked up to my 10-year high school reunion with three wives, everyone was pretty stoked. Everyone was pretty impressed with me, you know.
So they said, because they're worried about corruption coming from the bride price. So they're worried that like someone will bribe, I guess, an official or someone else to. Through the paying of the bride price, and that they will take on more wives than they can afford to take on, and that's the major concern with the polygamy, is that they'll marry more wives than they can afford.
Mm.
So they're not saying that it should stop altogether. They're grandfathering in people who already have multiple wives, and they're saying they're endorsing multiple marriages for men with. Like men who have no children or have no male children from a previous marriage who are marrying a widow, which is nice of them, and who have family wealth to afford multiple wives. Those are like all the official allowances under the...
This isn't so much anti-polygamy. This is more like pro-financial planning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never would have thought the old terrorist was big on the financial planning. I thought there wouldn't be many more carefree positions than a terrorist signing a mortgage. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess...
Like, 20 years? Sure, whatever.
People going into comedy, they go into it thinking that it's going to alleviate them of responsibilities, but then they find that there's all these hidden expenses on top, traveling around and having to plan things in advance and all this sort of stuff. And these guys are just like, ah... I didn't know what I was signing up for. I thought I was just going to live life on the road, wander around, be a free man. Now I've got four or five wives I can't afford. It's a tough life. The old terrorist.
Imagine going up to one of your wives and being like, I'm sorry, I just can't afford you. Like, what a... I still love you.
Yes, I still love you. I just can't afford to love you.
Like a Australian with a jet ski, you know? It's just like, I just can't. I'd love to have a jet ski, but I just don't have the money. I'm just going to have to stick with wife number one, boat number two.
Yeah.
But no jet ski.
Blowing up historic monuments and bombing American outposts doesn't pay like I thought it would.
Yeah.
Really, like, embarrassingly low wages, you know? I showed up at my 10-year reunion and I was like, oh, you're still slaving away at terrorist level, huh? I thought you would have gone up into management by now.
Dude, masterminds make, what, like 200 before tax? They're good, man. They're on top.
Yeah, exactly. They've got it. They've got it sorted out. They've got minions. They've got people under them to do all the bombing. You've got to get in. You've got to get in when you can. All right, last question and then we're all done. I'll get you guys out of here. So we'll move over to Tokyo. So a 37-year-old Tokyo man says he rents himself out to other people. He has been inundated with gratitude from Twitter users. What is the service that he is renting himself out for?
Does he read their Twitter? Just do it themselves?
Yeah, response.
You don't want to hear that one. You don't want to hear that one.
okay. I reckon just a straight up friend. Like, it's just like, he just goes somewhere with you. Like, it's just a companion, no sexual anything. He just turns up and hangs out.
It is. He's listed specifically to do nothing. So he says he can eat, drink, give simple feedback, but do nothing more.
But with you.
Yeah, with you.
All right. He's not just doing that separately. And you're like, how was your night? Yeah, pretty good.
I'll just call him up and be like, can you just go down to my brother's party, eat, drink, give simple feedback, and do nothing more?
Yeah, perfect. I would hire that guy for my dad any day of the week. Just the sheer amount of phone calls it would save me. Fucking sign me up.
Listen and nod and be like, you are right. Your son is failing.
Yeah.
Is it a companion for elderly people or
just anyone who wants to hire him? Yeah.
This might be like me, you know, having watched Lost in Translation and not really knowing this to be true. But I do have an understanding that there's like a loneliness epidemic in Japan.
Yeah,
that's like a thing.
There's
that sounds weird.
The most aging populations in the world. They've got more centurions than anywhere else. And there is also a steady decline of people having babies. And apparently the work culture is really like destructive to dating and to meeting up and finding someone.
It's like, it's a weird thing. Like the terrorists keep taking all their wives.
Yeah,
it's
not good. Going over there, picking out a few Japanese wives, taking them back. Then they find out they can't afford them. They're used to a certain lifestyle.
Yeah. But yeah, I knew that. Yeah. But that's fucking good job.
Yeah,
you
right.
I mean, I wouldn't do it. That's the funny thing. I would absolutely not do that. That sounds like my worst fucking nightmare.
Yeah,
just hanging out with someone.
And
just
not
being like, hey, how you going?
And like not being allowed to like contradict when they say something stupid.
Yeah.
And just having to carry like just carry the flow of them complaining and being like, yes, you're right. You know what? You're right. She is stupid. Karen is dumb.
You reckon we can get that guy for our fringe shows to just really fill him out? Just about like
Audience.
40 to 70 of those a night? Just
Well,
give simple feedback. Ha ha. And like, fuck, this is great. Best fringe ever. This is good.
he's a busy dude.
Yeah.
He takes a lot of requests.
Could be a lot less than marketing.
Right.
Bring all these flyers and stuff, like.
So here's my next two questions. How many times do you think he's done it? And how much roughly? Because he obviously he charges in yen, so we'll do it in dollars, and I can tell you roughly what the dollar amount is. So how many requests do you think he's fulfilled, and how much do you think
All
he charges for an appearance?
Michael, because you won last time, you can lead this time. What do you reckon?
I reckon he'll get a lot. So I reckon he's done like 100
100 requests.
and $20 an hour.
$20 an hour. Okay.
All right. I'm going way more. I'm going like he's done like 500. He's done fucking heaps. Like he's busy. He's like every day this man is booked. It's
Yeah.
been years. And how much? I'm gonna say it's like 100 an hour or something like that. Like a lot of money.
So, you guys have come in at very different ends to your last numbers. So he has done over 3,000 requests.
Yeah,
Whoa.
Yeah.
heaps.
He is a busy man. I don't know if you'd be able to get him for your fringe show. You have to book well in advance and maybe fly him over. And he charges, not by the hour, he charges $96 per request, which is about 10,000 yen per request.
Wow.
I don't know
How
what.
long does the
Yeah,
rest
I don't know.
go
I'm
for?
not sure what the length of a request is.
Surely you should vary it based on the length of a request. Like, that's crazy. If it's like 30 minutes or 8 hours, 100, like 10,000 yen, baby.
Yeah, which I don't know. Maybe that's why he's so popular. He's got some feedback here. Couple of quotes from him from customers. He said, "One said, I'm glad he was able to walk. No, I'm glad I was able to walk with someone while keeping a comfortable distance, where we didn't have to talk, but could if we wanted to." That's the whole
Nice.
feedback.
Good.
And
Yeah.
another one is, I had been slack about visiting the hospital, but I went because he came with me.
So he's like in the room visiting like a dying parent. He's just sitting there like,
Just being
how you
like,
going?
you're a good son, you're doing well.
Fucking
$96
love
plus.
this guy.
Yeah, I think it's quite clever. It's a very industrious way to like use your time and to fill a cultural need.
Not bad.
Full props to him. I mean, at one point, I guess we should put a podcast together and just hire him to be in the Zoom box and just give gentle feedback. See how he goes.
Was an interesting story. I like the jokes they made.
You did
Keep
well.
going.
You did very good. Oh no, very good might be too.
Too much.
Yeah. And I guess just to finish off, what do you want to hire him for? Let's say we're going to hire him. What are we going to do? $96. What's $96 of your money worth?
I reckon artist bar at fringe shows, and he's there to say these three things in this order. Yep, not bad, and about 20 a night. That's it. Those are the three questions.
Nailed it. Nailed the fringe bar experience. For anyone who's wondering what the wildlife of a fringe artist is, that is those three questions in a
Are
nutshell.
you doing a show? How's it going? How many are you getting? That's it. Those are the questions, and they're
Love
fucking tedious.
about you, Michael? What are you gonna hire him for?
Whenever my parents are coming to visit in a little while, and they always refrain from asking personal questions when there's a stranger in the room. So basically, I just have him around.
Social buffer.
You keep it very polite, very surface level.
Yeah.
We're not getting into any questions about, how's your career going or anything. Mum's going to avoid those topics.
Nice. That
Fantastic.
is smart. That is
Yeah.
good.
It's a good like social chess move. I like it. That's really well played. Well, I think because you like Daniel, you did well towards the end there. You started breaking out and finding your stride and finding some answers. But I think because of his early streak on platypus knowledge, I think Michael just edged over into victory on this one. So I'd like to congratulate you, Michael. Connell.
Very much.
Good play.
I feel touched that I won, but I also think I don't believe you counted at any point during the show.
No, you don't think so? I'm hurt by your accusation. Quite frankly.
I'll take that win. That's all I need.
Yeah. Take that sweet win. I will never do the show again. That's it. If I've lost, I'm out. I do not take losing well.
One in time.
Yeah.
But if you guys want to give a shout out, because you're both doing fringe shows, I know that much.
Yep, it's the Platypus Hour on NPR. No.
That explains a lot. That's how you...
My show's called No Hablo Bebe. It's about my efforts to teach my two-year-old daughter Spanish, a language I don't speak yet. It's on at Rhino Room in the last 2 weeks of the Adelaide Fringe.
Nice. What time?
6:15.
6:15. Cool. Daniel?
My show is called Oh More Mr. White Guy, and it's on at 9:30 at the Piglet in Gluttony, which is an open air venue, which is way too close to busking for me. But I've made my choice, and now I'm stuck with it. It's on at 9:30 p.m. and from the hours of 10 a.m. through 6:30 p.m. I will be offering my services at $96 per request to sit there and be like, you look stupid in that. Don't buy it. Your life is meaningless. It'll be good. But I'll be wearing the tracksuit, so people will be like, fuck, this guy's kind of fun. I don't know.
It's the only way to make any money in a festival is to hire yourself out as a consultant for people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I still have a digital version of my show happening because I couldn't get into Adelaide because of the quarantine rules. But I'll be doing Comedy Festival if people remember that far in advance. It's only a month away. But I've got a storytelling show. It's called I Got Bit by a Monkey Once. And I'll do a couple more of these in the Comedy Festival, but also might try and sneak one in before then. So if you enjoyed this, come back and check it out. And please check out my guest shows because they very generously come and give me their time. And I would have gone to see their shows, but obviously I can't make it that far. But thanks a lot, guys. Thank you for your time. Thank you, the audience, for listening. And, I was going to say I'll see you around the Fringe, but maybe I'll see you at Comedy Festival. Who knows?
Yep, see you there. I'll be around.
Bye.
Cool. Catch you later.